That is quite the gospel story, especially if you haven't had your second cup of coffee yet. That's not where I want to start this morning. I want to start in the year 1707, just outside the city of Charleston, at a Church of England parish called Goose Creek Parish, which would later become St. James Parish. And some of the earliest written records that we have from the Church of England in the plantation colonies is from Reverend Francis Lejeune, who was the rector at Goose Creek Parish at the time. And Lejeune had organized a baptism class for the enslaved Africans who were owned at the time by the plantation owners who made up most of Goose Creek Parish. And Lejeune's white parishioners warned him against the religious instruction of their slaves, and they were particularly hesitant to prepare them for baptism, which could, quote, infuse the slaves with thoughts of freedom. So Reverend Lejeune required the slaves at Goose Creek Parish to take an oath before entering their baptism catechesis. Catechesis is just a fancy word for preparing for baptism. And the oath that these enslaved peoples had to take was that they were not pursuing baptism in order to gain their freedom. When the first of Reverend Lejeune's slaves began, when the first of the enslaved peoples in his baptism class began to read the scriptures, a particular passage came to his attention. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, and in Christ there is no longer slave or free, writes Paul in Galatians 3. So it wasn't long before Reverend Lejeune and some of the people in his parish and those on his vestry sorely regretted teaching those preparing for baptism to read in that class. And the conclusion that the vestry came to was that access to the scriptures needed to be really closely controlled. And all over the Church of England's plantation colonies at the time, and right after in the next 100 years or so, anti-literacy laws began to pop up for enslaved peoples. And when those first generations of enslaved Africans began to articulate their God-given freedoms in Christian terms, that is, the freedom to be called by their own name and by their own baptismal identity, it was fear that reverberated among those that were most deeply invested in keeping the status quo. Isn't that sort of the undercurrent of part of the human condition, is a fear of other people being transformed or of suddenly gaining their freedoms? Fear is definitely not a good feeling. Most of us spend time trying to avoid the feeling of fear. But it's a feeling that's just as human as laughter and tears. And fear can actually be a really wise teacher for us if we pay attention to it. So back to the gospel story. A first century exorcism of a demon-possessed man it's a pretty scary story. The main character of this story, besides Jesus, is the demon-possessed man. And when Jesus asks him, "What's your name?" he says, "Legion." Legion, meaning 5,600 Roman troops. Legion, meaning he has 5,600 demons possessing him. We don't really talk a lot about demons these days, except for around October 31st, maybe just for fun. By Luke calling this man's demons legion, the reference is that there are supernatural forces of evil that lie behind systems of political oppression. And this man, who was living in the tombs without clothes, this man and his problems were legion. There's no other source for his dignity or identity in this story. He doesn't even have a name. And so with some serious collateral damage to pigs, This man is healed of his demons. He's no longer in chains. He's no longer naked and no longer living in the tombs. But for the people of Gerasene, this was a big disruption for them because they had figured out a system to keep this man and his condition under control. Some brave person would go out from time to time and shackle him when he broke loose from his chains, and someone else, maybe from a local religious order, would go out and probably drop food and water off for this man. And I'd imagine that most people in the town probably tried to make sure that the children stayed away. And by healing him, Jesus messed up their entire system. Yes, the system was not ideal. Clearly, it was not ideal. This man is suffering deeply. But it more or less worked for most people most of the time. So it would make sense that by healing this man who had been in chains for so many years, it says the people in the community were, quote, seized with great fear. And they even asked Jesus to leave their village. But a system that works pretty well for most people most of the time isn't good enough for Jesus. And he showed us this by breaking the shackles and healing that demon-possessed man and bringing him all the way back into town. We live in a world that's organized by systems that work for some people and not for others. Like the vestry members at Goose Creek Parish in 1707, they'd worked out a system to baptize the people who were enslaved while still keeping them enslaved. Whether it's first century Gerasene or 18th century South Carolina or 21st century Cary, there is this undercurrent in the human condition that makes us all want to keep others in their place. Just like people who witnessed the demon-possessed man be transformed, I think we too are so often fearful of what we don't know and what we don't understand. And there may be times when our thoughts and our vision can be possessed or be chained, can be chained to fear of change. Listen to the words that describe the man before and after his encounter with Jesus. First, he was naked. He had gone without clothes. After he encountered Jesus, he was clothed. He was legion. After, he was in his right mind. He was in chains. And after, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus transformed this man whose problems were legion. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus also comes to transform us, to unshackle us from our thought patterns. The Holy Spirit comes to transform us from times when we're fearful of what we don't know or don't understand. Jesus comes to us again and again to expel our prejudice and fear right down the side of a cliff, to set us free and just to miraculously transform us, and to free us from being the cause of someone else being in chains. In Christ, a transformation happens, and those barriers that society would like for us to live in are struck down and cast off because they're not good enough for Jesus. And we have a new identity in our baptism, which is that we belong to God and we belong to each other. So it was fear that made the people of Gerasene ask Jesus to leave their town. Hey, can you pack your bags and get out of here, please? Like, stat. But and the man who Jesus healed wanted to stay with him. He said, hey, Jesus, stay here or take me with you. And Jesus says, no. You need to stay here and tell people about what's happened to you. Tell people what I've done for you. The man who was formerly legion stayed on to change his culture. And we can do the same thing as that man. We can stay back and transform our culture, clothed and in our right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus.